But we'll get to the word first, and we're going to start in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. We just wanted to share a little bit about what the Word of God has to say about fellowship and fellowshipping. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be what?"
Full.
That's right. Full. So fellowship is around a common activity or set of ideals. That's what the dictionary says. And it applies to us in the body of believers, right? We fellowship around God and the greatness of his word, right? That is our common set of ideals and our common beliefs. And it says in verse 4 that the things that they were writing unto them, stuff that they had seen and heard that they were declaring from verse 3, was the word of God. They were writing unto them that their joy might be full, right? There's fullness of joy in this word of God and in fellowshipping around it. Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is," and if the "in the" is scratched, "as he is light, we have fellowship one with" what?
One with another.
Right? And that walking in light simply means walking according to the word of God. Right? So that's what fellowshipping is. It's a relationship with the Father, and it's walking in his word so that we can fellowship with one another, right? And when we do that, when we have that sweet relationship with God, and when we do the word together, then our joy will be full, and that's a promise in the word. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And that was really cool because in his word, he put what he wanted his people to do after the day of Pentecost, right there in the word. And we're going to look at it in verse 37. This is Peter's sermon to all the people who were at the temple on the day of Pentecost, right? When they witnessed that initial outpouring, Peter gave them a sermon and wrapped it up. It says, "Now when they heard this," that's Peter's sermon, "they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" What are we to do? What's that? What's the next step? "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive," lambano, into manifestation, "the gift of the Holy Ghost." Receive Holy Spirit. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Right? Just letting them know this promise is available to everybody. To everyone. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And this was the result. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Right? A massive amount of people at that temple who witnessed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the apostles speaking in tongues, who got to hear what Peter had to say, were born again. About 3,000 people. And they, those people that heard it, that were born again, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, right? And breaking of bread and in prayers. And that continued steadfastly means that it was their way of life. It was their priority, right? They continued in it all the time, daily. And it lists four things. Doctrine, that's the word of God. Fellowship, common ideals, right? And togetherness. Breaking of bread is the socializing, the aspect of getting together and socializing. And four, in prayers, right? And taking care of one another. And growing in their relationship with God as a group. Verse 43, and fear or respect and reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Right? There was a togetherness. There was a sharing. Verse 45, and sold possessions and goods, and parted them to all as every man had need. Right? So they took care of one another. There was a giving and a taking care of each other in the body. Right? There wasn't a welfare program. The Romans certainly weren't handing out extra goodies to everybody who had need. What the body was doing was taking care of each other. Those who had an abundance gave to those who had need or had lack. Verse 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So this was a daily activity for them. They got into the word daily. They were with one accord in the temple every day. And then they went to each other's home, and they ate together, and they fellowshiped together. And it says, they ate their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart. And that very singleness of heart in the Hebrew is undivided loyalty, which is really cool to think about. Right? They were together, and they had undivided loyalty amongst themselves. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, right? So they spent time praising God, being thankful for the things that he did. And as a group, they held favor amongst all the people, right? Other people who were outside those who believed thought these people were pretty cool, right? They enjoyed what they were seeing. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Right? And so their lives were a witness to these other people. They had favor amongst the other people. And they too believed. Right? And more people got born again. And the church grew and grew. But they made it a priority to give glory to God. Right? They praised God. People knew what they were about. That's what they talked about. Right? They told people how good God was in their day-to-day lives so that people understood and knew what they fellowshiped around and what was important to them. And that's how the word grew. We can look at in Acts chapter 19, verse 8. We can look at Paul's approach to moving the word. It says in Acts 19, verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Right? And so in his case, when people don't want to hear what you have to say, then you just move on. And he took the people that did want to hear and went to this school of one Tyrannus, right? Because there was people in the larger group that he was speaking the word to that believed, and there was others who did not. And the ones who did not, as they became more and more hard, they began to speak negatively of those things. And so Paul separated the ones who wanted to hear from the ones who were disparaging God. Verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of God, heard the word of the Lord, the word Jesus is not in there, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Right? So they believed the word, and great things followed because they believed God's word. And Paul was able to do special miracles. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's an interesting phrase. We adjure you by Jesus whom who teaches? Paul. Did they believe it? They didn't. These guys were counterfeits. They were traveling showmen, right? They were vagabonds, as it says. But they were finding people who had evil spirits, and they were like, I've seen Paul do this, I want to do it too. But they didn't believe. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. So these 7 sons of the chief priest thought they were pretty hot stuff. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who exactly are you again? You 7 sons of Sceva? I don't know you. Right? They didn't know because they didn't believe. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's not fun. Right? They didn't believe. They just climbed aboard the fad. Right? Climbed aboard the fad. They thought, oh, Paul's doing all this cool stuff. I'm going to try it too. And the result was they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear or reverence and respect fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So they understood what was real and what was counterfeit. Real recognized real, right? Anyway, verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Right? This pricked them in their hearts. They got to see what was real and what wasn't real. They got to see the true power of God, and that led them to believe, right? That sparked believing in them, so that they came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver, which is quite a fortune. So they took all the hooky-poo stuff, all the devilish things, all the stuff that, all the idolatry, you know, all the witchcraft, all the things that were contrary to the word of God, and they literally burned it from their lives, right? They burned the chaff, they got rid of the junk. And in verse 20 it says, so, which is in this manner mightily grew the word of God in what? Prevail. Right? So, as they got to see the word of God living and real in people's lives, because of the word that Paul was sharing, they too believed. And they got rid of the junk in their lives. Right? They repented, they changed their hearts. And it was in that manner that the word of God grew and prevailed. And that's what we do in our lives. We hold forth that word. We fellowship with God. We fellowship with each other. and we hold forth that rightly divided word so that people can see it, and then they too want what we want. They too are impressed by the results and the things that they see. And then they get delivered too. And that's how the Word of God will grow and prevail on light.